Today is one of those Sundays that we are blessed to have our children in here with us. Creates somewhat of a challenge for me and trying to halfway hold their attention. Before the service, Charlie over here was looking at my sermon notes and she observed a Superman comic book on top. I want to talk to you a minute about superheroes, okay? So before we just get started, just have a little fun here. Someone tell me, who is your favorite superhero? You got to speak up. Aquaman. Mitch.
Batman.
Panther. All right, Black Panther. Andy, what was that?
Thor,
okay. Somebody else?
Superman,
all right. Batgirl, all right. Have you ever wondered, okay, who is Jace saying? Captain America, all right. Have you ever wondered why we so easily gravitate to these superheroes? Everywhere from Ant-Man, which still blows my mind, to Superman. Why? Because there's something in the nature of man that aspires to be something more than we are. God created us not just to take up space, but God created us for great things. Now, I will tell you this. My superhero, without doubt, was Superman. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Who has a cooler costume than Superman? I can remember when we started watching Superman, I had my mom sew me a red cape that I would tie around my neck and run around and fly. It's amazing, these superheroes. Now, I'm going to ask Sean Stovall to come up. I don't know if anybody recognizes what Sean has on or not.
Green
Who?
Green Lantern,
that's right. He's got on his hat, his shirt, and his belt, and I'm going to... And shoes. Maybe Sean is the Green Lantern. We don't know. But I'm going to let Sean tell me again what this is called.
Oh, what's called?
What you're fixing to take and recite.
Oh, Green Lantern is a dispatch, a policeman. In the universe in Sector 2814 by the Guardians on the planet Oa. And he has a power ring, and he has to charge it every 24 hours. And he puts it up to a Green Lantern, and it charges it. And so that's how he has no power on its own. It's only through the light of the Green Lantern. And he says an oath every 24 hours before he starts on his mission. And that is, putting it up to the power ring, he'll say, in brightest day, in blackest night, let those who worships evil might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
Be careful walking down. Okay. As I mentioned to you, love the story of Superman. Sean and I discussed the other day how Superman is almost... There's so much in the story of Superman that parallels Christ, that it makes you wonder about it. He came from a far-off place, his father's only son, with just unlimited power. I'm going to show you in just a second a video, but first I need to set it up. This is Superman as a teenager, okay? He is the manager of the school's football team. In other words, he takes out the balls and picks up the helmets and all that stuff. He's their team manager. And the guys on the team kind of give him a hard time, as football players do tend to do team managers. But on this one particular day, some of them are going to a party, but he can't go because he's got to pick all this stuff up, and he's mad. They get in the car, and they're driving to the party, and to do that, they have to drive by his house. So he gets up all the equipment, gathers it, puts it up, and runs home. Now remember, he's Superman. And he gets to his house long before they get there in the car. And they pull up in the car, and they see him standing there. And they say, "Clark, how did you get here?" He said, "I ran." And then as they drive off, his father, played by the actor Glenn Ford, pulls him aside and says, "Son, were you showing off again?" Now, this is a scene of the father's advice to Clark Kent as a teenager about the superpowers he has, guys.
Yeah, I know. You can do all these amazing things, and sometimes you think that you will just go bust unless you can tell people about it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, every time I get the football, I can make a touchdown.
That's for sure.
Every time.
Yeah.
I mean, is it showing off and somebody's doing the things he's capable of doing? Is a bird showing off when it flies?
No. No, now you listen to me. When you first came to us, we thought that people would come and take you away because when they found out, you know, the things you could do, and it worried us a lot. But then a man gets older and he thinks very differently and things get very clear. And there's one thing I do know, son, and that is you are here for a reason. I don't know whose reason, whatever the reason is, you know, maybe it's because, I don't know, but I do know one thing. It's not to score touchdowns. Huh?
Thanks, Dad.
Did you catch that? I have all these amazing powers, Dad. His father says, "I don't understand it. I don't know why, but I know one thing. It's not to score touchdowns." Friends, God has given us so many gifts. He dwells within us. He blesses us. And I'll make you this promise. It's not to have more stuff or have more fun things to do or places to go. One of the things I like about Superman, his purpose was simple: truth, justice, and what? The American way. I like that. He had a purpose. And I want to talk to you today about how together God wants to use us. Again, not that we can have more stuff, because if you get stuff, you just got to get new stuff. And if you think it's about activities and things to do that are fun, you're going to get tired and need some new activities. But God has a purpose in your life to use you for great things impacting the lives of others. And I'm challenging you today to get involved in touching the lives of others. Sign up for our service teams on the back table on the list. Help Michael and Aaliyah. But step outside of yourself. Be somewhere, something else for somebody else. All right. With that, let's open our Bibles to a very familiar scripture, yet one so powerful. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's say that together. Could we do that? We'll just take and recite that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Did you catch that? Loved the world. If we're not careful, that can almost be abstract. Well, you know, God just loves everybody. But here's an amazing fact. God loves you. He knows you by name. And he cares for you. He cares for everyone in the world. Heard about a preacher one time who was being interviewed about the job as a pastor. And they asked him, what do you think about being a pastor? He said, I love the job. They said, well, yeah. Are there any drawbacks to the job? Yeah, the people. You see, God loves you in spite of how you act, in spite of what you do. God loves you because there is intrinsic value in you. God knows you by name. With that, we've got three simple points this morning. First one is this. Together, we can change your world. Everybody here, regardless of how cool you act in your seat, how much you act like you have everything under control, how much everything is with it, we all know we have problems and troubles, don't we? Did you know the largest section in every bookstore is self-help books? Individuals and businesses have made millions of dollars telling you how to improve yourself. But everything that we do in an effort to change who we are fails. I remember learning in school a simple rhyme. Maybe some of you remember it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. How many remember Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a what? A great fall. And all the king's men and all the king's horses could not put Humpty Dumpty back together. I don't care how many self-help books you take and read, how many doctors you go to, how many psychic visits you pay for. The only one that's going to change you and put you back together is the one that created you, and that is Christ. And we learn about Christ here. We understand how he makes application in our Christ. In church, we understand how he works his miracles in our lives. John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, we know from John 3:16, God loved the world. We know from John 3:16, that God sent his Son into the world to die for us, to die in our stead, that Christ came to restore the relationship we had with the Father. Oftentimes when two countries are embattled against each other, there will be an arbitrators who go in, peacemakers who go in to try to get the two sides talking, to bring the two sides together. Christ came as a mediator between God and man that we might come together. And as that mediator, he died on the cross for our sins and paid the price. That's how much God loves us. And as we come together, we remind ourselves of that love. I was thinking of Michael and Aaliyah. I'm certain that they envisioned moving into their house and setting some things up, maybe painting a room a special color and all this stuff. I doubt very seriously that they envisioned tearing out sheetrock and insulation and dealing with mold and filth and having to rip out so much of their house. What we want to do is remind them God loves them. And you have people that love you. That's what the church does. We are, again, the body of Christ. Jesus came to fix that which was broken. And all of us have so much in us that is broken, so much. Second scripture verse. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It's almost as if through our life, we're trying to find something that will meet this innermost need. Have you ever wondered why people do crazy things? Why do people shoot drugs into their arms? Because it makes them feel good, and they feel like that it'll take them somewhere else. Why do people go so far in debt they can't pay their bills and then they lose everything? Trying to find something that satisfies. Why is it that rather than be content with that one person God brings into your life to be your spouse for life, people keep looking around because maybe I need somebody else to feel whole. There is a void within us that God came to fill to make us a new creation. And we keep trying everything else, and it doesn't work. Only God and only in Christ will the old become new. Only in Christ can we be changed from within. God gives us a new heart and a new life. Now, we're all sitting here, Ben, by the way, y'all look pretty today. You look pretty. You cleaned up pretty good for today. But I know some of you. And I know your past ain't that pretty. Am I right? I want to do something, and I hope this will not embarrass anybody, but we're going to do it anyway. If in your past you've had addictions, incarcerations, and God has transformed you, would you stand? I want to see some of the people here that you can see their lives. Thank you. So here's what I want you to know. If you're struggling, you're not alone. You are not alone. But you will never find it by going deeper in the bottle. You will never find it by staying up at night and watching the television shows that say you stuff and ordering more stuff. You're only going to find it when you, like all of us, humble ourselves before God and say, God, I blew it, and I need you. Together, we change your world to begin with. We help you find peace. We help you find answers. Talked to you a couple of weeks ago about that, how in Christ we find what the Jewish called shalom. Not, it's much more than a peace. It's a completeness. It's everything being put together. It's the jigsaw puzzle being whole. Shalom. And it's never going to happen because you study, because you buy, because you go and do. Have you ever wondered why so many of our celebrities just can't stay married? Why so many of our celebrities end up having to go into rehab for drug and alcohol addictions? Why so many of our celebrities die early or take their lives? Because what they're reaching for doesn't work. It doesn't satisfy. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and we all know we got some stuff that needs to go. Behold, all things have become new. Together, we start by helping you change your life, by helping you find Christ and help you understand that you've got to trust Him and grow in Him. All right. Number two, guys. Together we can change our world. Talking about the church. Paul says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, as you also are doing or have been doing. When I first became a Christian, I knew very little about Christ, very little about the Bible. I would go as far as to say when Ginger and I got married back in 1973, Ginger knew the Bible far better than I did, even though we began pastoring just a few months after that. But I began to grow and learn from those within the church about what Christ has done in their lives. Stan was preaching last night and sharing about how we are people of influence. And people, just by watching us, oftentimes begin to act like us. They will pick up our language. They'll begin to do things that we do. Well, as we come together as a church, we do rub off on each other. We encourage each other. There are people here today that need encouraging. We find out that's how you do this. That's how you battle these hard times. This is how you get through these times. With each other. We comfort each other. Together we learn about Christ. Together we learn how to live in relationships. The pastor that said, I like pastoring, just not the people. Relationships are hard. Amen? They're hard. If you want to have a marriage that is strong and lasting, you're going to have to put yourself down the line somewhere. And you're going to have to esteem your spouse above you. And that's not easy. You're going to have to forgive people that you don't want to forgive. People who hurt you and offend you, you've got to forgive them. You've got to learn to be patient with people that just unnerve you. But in the body of Christ, we learn to do that. That is not about us. We have so many people here that when there's a need, just rise. And it always amazes me how there's others coming alongside that are seeing and learning, this is how you do it. I don't have to have my way. It doesn't have to be about me. Simple thought here. After church today, there's a shower at 2 o'clock. for Rihanna and Tyler. They're getting hitched next weekend. Isn't that right? Okay. Make certain I got my times right. Now, some of you are going to go out and get a quick bite to eat. You know what you could do? You could go home, fix a quick bite, and take the difference in cost and put in a special offering today for Michael and Aaliyah. Yeah, but Pastor, we esteem others above ourselves. It's this whole concept that it's not about me. Our example is Christ, and the Bible tells us that we should have the same attitude he had. Though he was equal with God, he did not use that to his advantage, but instead humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. And we learned that in the body. Still remember a number of years ago now, following the death of a teenager in the church who had been hit by a car, the family, after they recovered, planned to take a trip to Disney World. Paul and Sonia and their daughter Katie. Kind of just something to just let the family just get their mind off the death of Amanda. That's who Amanda's Hope is named after, by the way. But during this time, as they were planning it, a need came up with Judy Redden. Her house desperately needed a new roof on it. Paul and Sonia, through some gifts that had been given to them and some savings, had enough in the bank to fly to Disney World and have a vacation there. But they conferred as a family. And at the end, they asked Katie, "What do you think we should do with the money?" And she said, "Put a roof on Judy's house." That's preferring others above yourself. Now, when a local business found out about this, they did give funds so that the family could go to Disney World. But it's the fact that we esteem others above ourselves, that we want them to succeed. Now, we do that with our children, don't we? We do that with our grandchildren. If they need something and we need something, we take care of them first. But Jesus said, that's not going to get you anything, because one of these days they're going to take care of you. So you're getting paid back for putting them first. But when you put first other people, that's when you'll honor Christ. Second scripture verse here. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Together we can love and help each other. We do that in sharing food, as Marlene heads up our food ministry. We do that when we go on mission trips. We do that when we have a shower to help a young couple get started in life. We want to bless our family, and God wants us to bless the church family, because what God wants is this. So let me just give you a simple overview. God wanted Israel to be such a blessed people that everybody outside of the Jewish faith said, "Wow, we want what they've got, and we want their God." But Israel blew it. Israel just blew it. They were selfish and disobedient. But that's what Christ wants of his church, that people outside the church go, "Wow, do you see how much they love each other? Wow, do you see what they do for each other? I want to be part of something like that." That's what the church is to be. Together. Together we can change our world. And thirdly, together we can change their world. Let me tell you a story. The Apostle Paul has been planting churches in Asia Minor, what we would call Turkey today. He's planted a number of churches there. And he is working in that area. But God wants Paul to go and minister in Europe. So Paul one night has a vision. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Do you know of anybody needing help? Boy, I do. And I'm barely scratching the surface. If I was a betting person, I would bet you that there are people on your street at night crying out to God for help. I've been there, haven't you? There are people in your family that they feel like their whole world is falling apart. And they don't know that Christ can put it back together if they will just, in humility, surrender to Him. They don't know. Paul is preaching the gospel of hope. And these in Macedonia cry out, "Paul, come over and help us." There are people around us in our world that need to hear the gospel story. There are people around us that we can help meet their physical needs with food and clothing. But only if we are willing to help. If you want to be part of a church where you can come in and sit and slip out and do nothing but maybe feel better because you went to church, we're probably not who you're looking for as a church. Because we believe that the body is supposed to be active. We believe that every person here needs to have a place of ministry. Now, some of you probably minister outside the church and you help people, and God bless you for it. But there are ministries within the church that can help you bless others and others within your family. But it'll never happen until you take initiative. And the first initiative we're asking you to do is maybe look back on these tables and say, "I could serve here." Fill out the survey form in the bulletin. Drop it in the offering plate or put it on the foyer table. Because what we want to do, once they're all in, we want to pull the information, see where people say they want to serve, and form some teams around these heartfelt needs. Together, we can make a difference. Wherever the Apostle Paul went, he didn't go by himself. Sean's been teaching us on Wednesday nights how to study the Bible. And we've been studying the book of 1 Thessalonians. And one of the first things that Sean taught us was the first thing that you want to do is to see who is speaking. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul makes it very clear that he's not doing this by himself. He says, "Paul, Timothy, Silas, they're part of my team. God wants us to work together to change the world, starting with your world. How can we help you? Our world. the people in our local church fellowship, family, their world, the people outside the church who were desperately needing Christ and needing hope. We are God's answer. We are God's solution. You are the one God wants to use to make a difference in the world. Stand with me for a second, if you would. Just stand with me. The superhero, Superman. He never made it about himself. With his superpowers, he could have done most anything to gain wealth and fame and fortune, but it was never about him. Christ came with the power to do anything. He tells us before his ascension to heaven, all power is given to me, heaven and earth. And yet he makes it about us, that we might have a heart for God and a heart for others. I'm asking you this. And leaders, you too, help us here. Give us an idea where you like to serve. Show us where your heart is, that we can form some teams around some of these corporate needs. And Stan heads up our serving in the church, and he's going to have to work some of these details out. But I'm telling you, for God to bless you, he's got to bless through you to get to someone else. Father God, we love you and we thank you, Father, for all of your manifold blessings. Remind us, Father, that together we can accomplish great things. I would ask that, is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor, pray for me, my world. I need help. Are the others? Thank you. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me and my world. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Father God, you see the hands. You know the hearts. Reach out to them, Lord. Minister to them. And send someone to minister to them, Lord. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.